Part 1, Chapter 16.
Meow!
When Roland and I were first married and had no children, we were kept entertained by a single missionary lady, Jo Stevens from Belgium, who needed a place to stay when she arrived at ELWA. She loved to talk and had many exciting stories to tell about her work with the underground during World War II. After a couple of months, she left to live in her own home. We just sat and looked at each other when she was gone. Jo had done all the talking, and now we had to learn more about communicating with each other. The house was too quiet, and we wanted something alive around the house. We had a variety of pets while we waited on the Lord to give us children. When we flew to the Mission Rest Compound in Nigeria for a vacation, one of the Nigerians offered to sell us two wild canaries in a homemade cage. I love birds, and especially canaries, with their beautiful songs, so we bought them. Fortunately, we were flying all the way back to Liberia in a small mission plane and did not have to deal with commercial flight rules. The canaries were a blessing to us and soon became real pets. When we were home, we allowed them to fly around the house. While we ate our meals, they often sat on top of the chair back at the other end of the table and watched us. But eventually, one of them tried to fly through the window and broke its neck. Later, the other one found the door open and took his flight into the jungle behind our house. It was not long before the Liberians learned we loved animals. When they went hunting and shot a deer, they brought the newborn fawn to us to keep. The children enjoyed feeding the fawn with a baby bottle. We were in the interior of Liberia at the time, where the nights were cool. We thought the fawn might get chilled, so we brought it into the house and made a bed for it beside the kerosene refrigerator. Evidently, the fumes from the kerosene flame were not good for it, and it got sick and died. Randy was especially devastated by its death and cried uncontrollably. The Liberians brought us other interesting pets. One was an armadillo, which we kept in a cage. He was interesting, but not exactly a good playmate. It was also hard to find enough ants for him to eat, so we let him go to find his own food. When someone brought a baby pygmy hippopotamus to us, we were really at a loss to know how to take care of him. His skin was dry and cracking, so we filled a wash tub with water and put him in it. We fed him leaves, etc., but he was not doing well, so we gave him back to some of the Liberians. Pygmy hippos are native to the swamps and forests of West Africa. They are interesting, but not easy to have as a pet. We finally got an ordinary pet, a cat. Roland enjoyed playing with him and teasing him. I was glad to have a buffer from my teasing husband. We kept the cat in the house except when it needed to go out to do its business. One day, I let him outside and went on with my housework. Soon I heard a frantic meow and a loud yow. When I went to the door, I saw a dog shaking the cat in his teeth. When the dog saw me, he dropped the cat and slunk away into the bushes. I watched the dog closely as it walked away. It seemed a little strange, but I did not see any foaming at the mouth or wild behavior I would have expected to see if it was rabid. When I inspected the cat's belly, it had two small holes where the dog's teeth had held it, but the cat seemed fine otherwise. The holes healed, and we thought that was the end of that story, but not so. A week or so later, the cat scratched Roland's hand and also scratched some children playing with it. A few days after that, the cat came up behind me and bit me on the ankle. It had never done anything like that before. We soon noticed it was not eating. One night, some of the other missionaries called us to come and get the cat because he was acting strangely. Rowan and I rode down the beach road to the missionary's house on our motorbike and collected the cat. I held it until we got home. We wanted to shut it up in the laundry room until we could see what happened to it, but it jumped out of my hand and started chasing Roland around the yard. We finally captured it and shut it up. The next day, our doctor strongly suspected the cat had rabies. He said the only way we could be sure was to keep it in a cage, watch it until it died, and have its brain tested for rabies. He also said since it had bitten me, I would need to get rabies vaccine right away because the animal's saliva is more dangerous than the cat's scratches. Since Roland and the children had been scratched, they needed to get the injections also to be safe. When our doctor tried to find rabies vaccine in Liberia, no up-to-date vaccine could be found. The only vaccine available was out of date. But the doctor said I should begin getting that series of injections right away anyway. Meanwhile, he radioed our mission in the USA asking for the vaccine to be sent by air immediately. Before the vaccine arrived, the government hospital had procured some rabies vaccine from Germany, which could be given in one injection. Roland and the children were given that injection. But since I had already begun the other series of 14 injections, I had to finish that series when the new vaccine arrived from New York. I was very glad when those injections were finished. They had to be given in a circle around the navel, and each one was painful for the full 24 hours until the next injection was due. By the end of the series, I was climbing the walls. The vaccine affected my nervous system. We were told we would not know for 2 years if I would actually be immune from rabies. Meanwhile, the tests came back from the cat's brain. It was positive. The cat did have rabies. Not long after this, one of our missionaries in Nigeria was bitten by a rabid puppy and eventually died from the disease, even though he had been given the rabies vaccine. We praise the Lord for sparing my life. We also praise the Lord for beginning to give us children soon after this experience. We did not need any more pets for a long time.